The Portfolio Doctors on KCBQ is sponsored by Mr. Credit San Diego.
Next on KCPQ, stay tuned for the Portfolio Doctors, Dan Osgood and Stephen Vick, investment advisor representatives for their respective investment firms, ACAS LLC and Cottingham Management Company LLC. The opinions expressed on the Portfolio Doctors are their own and do not reflect those of ACAS LLC, Cottingham Management Company LLC, or this radio station. The following information is for educational purposes only. ACAS LLC and Cottingham Management Company LLC are not law or accounting firms, and no portion of this presentation should be interpreted as legal, accounting, or tax advice. Welcome to the Portfolio Doctors on News Talk AM 1170 KCBQ. Your financial future depends on making sound investment decisions. Make sure you get accurate information and a weekly checkup from a source you trust. The Portfolio Doctors will see you now. Live in studio, here are Dan Osgood and Steve Vick. The Portfolio Doctors.
Welcome to a nice and, I guess you could call it a little bit wet, Saturday here.
Blustery.
Blustery. If San Diego has blustery weather, today's the day.
This is as blustery as it
gets. This is it. This is the Portfolio Doctors. My name is Dan Osgood.
I'm Steve Vick.
And, well, let's see. Last week we talked about the volatility that had suddenly popped up in the market. And I guess if the market is pretty much just going straight up, is that volatile?
Well, it should be, but it's not.
That doesn't qualify?
No. Apparently, up is a direction that doesn't count. Volatility only counts on the downside.
Okay. Yeah, because I know all the metrics that they use to measure it, they only really show what's going on when the market is dropping.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, you're right. It should be calculated on both sides. Mm-hmm. Volatility is, you know, up and down. How far you've moved away from the mean or the norm.
Right.
And but for whatever reason, we just calculated on the downside.
And that's I've noticed that everyone talks about the VIX as being the volatility index.
Right.
And the reality is when the market goes down significantly, you see the VIX moves very, very sharply.
Right.
But if in that same day it turns around and maybe the market opens and goes down 200 points right away, and then an hour later, it's positive 100 points. To me, that's a really volatile move. But the reality is the VIX is
contracting,
contracting and not showing any
Yeah, because
change.
We're all making money then. We don't care anymore.
Right. So it's all, when it's down, it's bad.
I think the idea of the VIX is to not necessarily just calculate the volatility, but more the risk.
Okay.
And so the idea is that when it's falling, the market's falling, the risk trade is higher, so therefore it goes up. And when the market's just going like gangbusters like it did this week, then the risk is supposedly off, right?
Right.
And I think that's really more what it's about than volatility, because the volatility, right, should be calculated on both the up and the downside.
Okay.
Mm. Otherwise, the VIX would just, wow, we'd have a VIX at about 160 right now.
Right. Well,
yeah.
It definitely should over the last two to 3 weeks of trading.
What's it at, 15 or something?
I think it was 14 or 13.
Yeah.
The last I saw.
And all-time low is like 8.
Right.
So we're right down around.
But then we're
also at all-time highs in the market.
Right. Yes. Yeah. We closed at an all-time high in the Dow yesterday.
Yeah. And the Nasdaq.
Did the S&P?
I think the S&P was.
I didn't see any headlines about that. They were just talking about the Dow.
We must be pretty close.
Right. Because, yes, the S&P closed over 2000 again.
Oh, yeah.
It closed at 2018.
Yes, which I thought was a high, but maybe not.
Maybe.
It must be close.
I don't follow it that closely to know exactly where the highs and lows are. I let the media tell me. It gives us plenty to talk about when they're doing that.
Exactly right. Well, they'll tell us, that's for sure. They're there to pound the drums.
Right. Create the, whether it's fear or excitement, whatever they feel like talking about that day. Or whichever way the market's going, that's what they'll decide to talk about.
Yep, without a doubt.
This week, it looks like, what happened? Japan, there is it a prime minister or a president?
Prime minister. Mm-hmm. Abe.
Abe, I think is how it's pronounced. But The Abenomics, where he basically is following what our Fed has done in creating a buyback, but he's going to take it a step further and actually pump money actually into the economy, not just buy bonds. He's actually going to put money in for infrastructure
and things like that,
and things. So that'll be interesting, because I know you wrote a blog a while back about Japan being in very dire straits financially.
Yeah, they are.
And so this is a way to stimulate it and turn it around.
For their sakes, it is, because they really have been struggling, and no matter what they're doing, it just doesn't seem to work.
Right.
And, I shouldn't say it doesn't seem to work, because what also they did was, at the same time they were pumping all this money in, they also increased, in equivalent terms, it would be our value-added tax or sales tax. They increased that, the consumption tax, they call it.
Okay.
I think it went from 5 to 8%. And so any type of stimulus that was working up to then just ground to a halt, because no one wanted to pay 3% more for the items they were consuming. So now it's sort of crazy. So you try and stimulate, but then you tax them more. So it's sort of all one offsets the other.
Right.
So they might as well have just done nothing. Mm-hmm. But this time around, you see, they're stimulating again, but there's another round of tax increases
coming right behind it. Oh,
yeah.
Boy.
So
they're going to get these small windows of maybe the stimulus will work and it'll start going, and then the new tax will come in and that'll just stop it again.
Yeah, but I think the biggest concern there, and it's sort of a concern here as well, is that all the stimulus is supposed to be helping, and it's safe to say that the stimulus, when it first came on board, when we rewind the clock all the way back to 07, 08, where things were just falling to pieces and these massive international banking conglomerates were going under, if the Fed hadn't stepped in there, there would have been a lot of problems.
Right. Wall Street would look very different today.
The whole financial world would look different.
Right.
You wonder who would even be left.
Mm-hmm.
There
was not a bank that was dodging the bullets that were flying there.
Maybe Wells Fargo, but outside of that, not many others.
Yeah, Bank of America looked like they were about to go.
Gone. Mm-hmm. Yeah, Bear was gone. Lehman went.
Right.
And it was just a matter of time before J.P. Morgan and others just went as well. It would be completely different landscape, which might not have been a bad thing.
Right.
But the pain to the consumer, who would have had to have lived through that, mm-hmm. where savings would have been locked up and not been able to been accessed, and you could have potentially had massive inflation even or deflation, where people are just literally giving stuff away because they have to. They jobs are just being lost. It would have just really been a bad situation.
Right.
And the Fed stepped in and sort of rescued that. And that's really, to me, what they're there for. But then after that, they then spent the next, 6 years?
Yeah, just continuing
pumping mm-hmm. money into the system. And you have a situation now where the economy definitely is growing. I think I read that GDP was up like 3.5% this year.
Yeah, unexpectedly.
That's some solid stuff. Mm-hmm. Anything north of 4% in the United States is huge. Those are big numbers. That really does actually start getting rid of unemployment problems.
Mm-hmm.
Because you need more than 4% just to give our listeners a bit of information on this. If you have less than 4% growth, the number of people that are actually joining the workforce, they can't find jobs, because less than 4% growth doesn't suck them up. It fixes the unemployment problem to some degree, but it doesn't help the people that are just joining the workforce for the first time. So your graduates.
College graduates.
It is not enough of a growth in GDP to be able to suck all those people in.
Okay.
North of 4%, not only are you knocking down unemployment, but you're also able to suck in all of these individuals.
Okay.
So when you start seeing 3.5-4%, those are big numbers, and that really puts a solid floor under the unemployment problems. So that's good news. The bad news, and we can talk about this in the next segment, but the really bad news is this massive amount of debt that we've had to...
Right. How do you unwind that?
Yes. And then the other thing to talk about is the crowding out effect. And for those of you out there who are listening to the show, maybe you've heard me mention crowding out before, but we can definitely talk about that when we come back from our break.
We will definitely do that. You are listening to the Portfolio Doctors. If, as we're going through the show today, any thought pop into your head that you'd like some clarity on, or if it's just a question that you would like answered from us, whether it's on the air or via email or a direct phone call, we are available. You can reach either of us directly via email. It's steve@theportfoliodoctors.com or dan@theportfoliodoctors.com. We also have old podcasts available of our past shows on iTunes. Just search for The Portfolio Doctors. So stick around. When we get back, we will talk about everything Steve mentioned and a whole lot more.
Yeah.
Be right back.
Intelligent Talk, 1170 KCBQ.
Business owners, are you tired of using multiple software solutions to run your business? Are you sick of the constant updates and having to pay your IT staff or a third-party company to manage your software systems? If you can answer yes to any of these questions, then you need Lead Commerce. Lead Commerce is a cloud-based software system that runs your entire business, from your website to e-commerce to inventory, purchasing, and order management. Lead Commerce does it all. For a free 15-day trial of Lead Commerce, log on to leadcommerce.com. That's www.leadcommerce.com. Start your free trial today. You'll be glad you did.
Remember those warm, sun-filled days relaxing on the beach in Hawaii? Can't wait to go again? Well, now you can have a taste of Hawaii delivered to your door by going online and ordering some melt-in-your-mouth deliciousness from HawaiiFudge.com. What better way to shake off the stresses of the world than biting into a smooth, creamy chocolate macadamia nut sensation? Or how about our Kona Coffee Lava Flow? Just go to HawaiiFudge.com and place your order online today. That's HawaiiFudge.com.
According to the U.S. Census Bureau, over 90 million people in the U.S. own mutual funds. Now, I wonder how many of those people have read all the fine print associated with those investments. The good news is you don't have to figure it out on your own. Let me introduce you to Dan Osgood. Dan is a certified financial planner and actually a friend. Through his website, freeinvestmentaudit.com, he will do a free risk and cost analysis for any investment portfolio you have. This free analysis will find all the hidden fees and uncover the missing money from your investments. Most people don't think they're paying any fees at all, but trust me, you definitely are. The question is, how much in fees are you paying for the investments you have? If you have a retirement account or a bond portfolio of any kind, go to freeinvestmentaudit.com right now and get your free analysis. You deserve to know what your investments are really costing you. Freeinvestmentaudit.com. That's freeinvestmentaudit.com. That's freeinvestmentaudit.com.
Keep up with KCBQ hosts and current events. Like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter. Look for the icons online at kcbq.com.
Welcome back. It is the Portfolio Doctors. My name is Dan Osgood.
And I'm Steve Bick.
And kind of just discussing a little bit what's gone on in the crazy few weeks.
We were talking about the Fed and the worry. I mean, it's sort of universal that people feel like we're nowhere near where we were back in 2008.
Correct.
I mean, people don't feel like they're making as much money. They feel like the opportunities aren't there to make money. They feel like small business owners feel like they're being sort of squeezed out. There's no support. The increase in taxes, the increase in the spend you have to do on, well, even minimum wage, but outside of that, the spend on medical insurance and all of these other things are really just squeezing. And one theory behind why is called crowding out. And the crowding out effect is essentially comes into play when government, or in our case, the United States government, invests so much money into an economy. They essentially trying to not they're trying to prop the economy up, but they end up investing so much, in this case, $4 trillion, that they end up almost being the economy.
Right.
And what it does is there's only a certain amount of a marketplace size, right? In our case, it's growing by the estimate we've just heard, 4% this year. Mm-hmm. So if you had a $17 trillion economy and it grows by 4%, you're about 17.5 trillion, okay? But if of that growth, the majority is being sucked up by the United States government and the Federal Reserve because they're just buying everything, the pie isn't growing fast enough for business to really be competitive. So they get squeezed out. They get an ever smaller and smaller piece of the pie because the government's just buying up everything.
Right.
And that's the crowding out effect. You're sort of being crowded out of the action.
But by the stimulus.
By the stimulus, exactly. By the exact thing that's trying to help is actually hurting business. Not big business per se, because if you think of the behemoths, I mean, Apple, Microsoft, you know, Google, these massive multi-billion dollar companies. I don't even know what the market cap is on Apple anymore. It must be over $500 billion, I think. You can pull it up while I'm talking away. But it's over about 500. Is it
500? 633.
Okay, so I was off by 100 billion. What's 100 billion between me?
Yeah, exactly.
So $633 billion market cap. I mean, that's a behemoth. You know, that's closing on $1 trillion. So
Yes. Those
guys can play. They're big enough. They're strong enough. They've got financial ability to be able to muscle their way in and wrestle a piece of the remaining pie away from the smaller players. But if you're just a startup trying to, you know, got an idea, trying to move into a new business, it's really tough. Number one, the employees come to you and say, well, how long have you been in business? What's my job security? I'm not going to leave someone like Apple right now and move over to you because you can't guarantee me a job forever. Number two, the small business can't pay close to what Apple can pay.
Right.
And even if Apple, if you're on par with Apple as a small business and you offer them stock, Apple can offer those guys, you know, stock options that are actually worth something.
Right.
You know, I mean, a small business, your stock options are worthless until they're worth $1 billion.
Right.
And so there's not many people in this type of economy when they're feeling like they're constantly in jeopardy of either losing their job or that the economy might fall to pieces again. They're clinging on to everything they've got, right? And so that's where when you add all that up, that whole crowding out effect, I really think we're all feeling this firsthand.
I agree. And one of the interesting stats that came out this week, the consumer sentiment numbers, they regularly release these.
Yep.
I think it's University of Michigan is one of the reports. It came out this week, and it's at the highest level since July of 2007, I think that's a good measurement. Mm. That's indicating people are feeling a little more optimistic. However, the reality is spending has dropped. So the consumers, even though they're more behind and think that things are getting better, they're not spending as much money as they have been.
I think that maybe, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, but off the top of my head, I've got to believe that some of that reduction in spending is probably tied up with this plummet we've had in the cost of gas.
That could be.
I mean, a lot of times consumers don't really believe it. I mean, what we were at $5 a gallon just a few months.
Well, it wasn't that long ago. It was at least four here.
Well, way over four.
And I paid $3 just this week.
See? So there you go. And you can't really believe it, right? You like it and, oh, this is nice. Mm-hmm. But it takes most consumers at least a couple of months to really actually look and go, wow, I've got an extra $100 in my bank account.
Right.
I wonder where that came from. You know, and unknown to you, it's actually coming from the gas. So you won't initially spend it. You'll see a drop in consumer spending up front. And then normally it'll pick back up. The good news is, on that front, is that it's perfectly time for Christmas and holidays and, you know, everything else that's coming right around the corner.
Right.
And so you might actually see a nice uptick in terms of consumer spending through the holiday period.
And that was a couple of the articles I read about this. They were anticipating that that might be the effect, is as people become more comfortable that things are turning around, they will put that money to work as it comes to the holiday season. So people are starting to anticipate a good holiday season spending-wise.
Well, let's not get too bullish on it, but yeah, I would got to say
that as soon as everyone starts talking about it, we know how that works.
You're right. I read an article because, as you know, I do a fair amount of trading in the commodity world, and about 2-3 weeks ago, when the market really fell to pieces, every single thing, all of my indicators just said to short everything, right? And then, and I made a decent amount of money on the short side of the market. Just for our listeners who don't know what that is, I was selling things I didn't own, which we might have to explain that a bit more. But anyway, so I was shorting the market and everything, not just stocks. I was shorting, you know, gold, silver.
Well, it was just 2 or 3 weeks ago, you said, for the first time ever, I am short in every position.
I mean, it was soybeans and corn and oil, and I mean, it was everything. And then right at that point in time, it started turning a little bit, and some of my positions started getting closed out, fortunately at a profit. And then I read an article literally the beginning of this week we're in now that talked about how everything was a short and everything was falling. And of course, this week we had that massive rally in everything, literally soybeans went up, except gold and silver, which just got absolutely pulverized. But it's just funny to me that it was once again, here comes the article, too late, it's already happened.
You know? Right as it turned around.
Exactly, which goes to your point of, you know, just right when people are actually talking about it, then it's normally over.
Right. So let's cross our fingers that people don't talk too much about that as a possibility, that the fact that gas is cheaper, that people are going to have more money in their wallets.
Right, that's my fear. Yeah. Although, you know, just as an aside, while we're talking about gasoline, obviously it's tied to the price of oil. And the one short that I still have on out of all of them is actually oil.
Well,
it's still trending down. Mm-hmm. It seems like there's a glut of oil in the market. And OPEC, the oil-producing nations of the world, what used to be OPEC was the most powerful group in the world. And now with America producing so much oil, the OPEC is sort of being a little bit undermined. Not only that, it's sort of every scoundrel in the world is part of OPEC, it seems like. I mean that tongue-in-cheek, of course. But, I mean, really. And so it's hard for them to all play games, ball together.
Right.
I mean, Iraq, they don't really care. They're producing as much as they can. Iran as well. The Russians are just producing like crazy, you know. And meanwhile, the Saudi Arabia is trying to reduce production so that they can try and get the oil up. But these other nations, they really don't play the game at all. They're like, oh, we're just going to keep producing oil while we can.
Well, and the reality is they're still making ridiculous amounts of money. It's just not as much.
Exactly.
But it's still more money than is fathomable.
Although the interesting part to the oil price is there's certain breakpoints where the cost of production, which is relatively set, exceeds the price of the oil. So it means that you're unprofitable. And the average that's being given out in the United States is $80 a barrel. And we're sitting at $80 a barrel right now. So that's like they're marginally profitable. They will continue to produce oil all the way down to 70 because the cost of closing down after you spent all that money to get it operating, you just keep hoping that it'll turn.
Right.
But by $70 a barrel, that's where you see the marginal operators, not the big boys like ExxonMobil, but the marginal operators will start shutting down their wells. And that's really what you see in terms of commodities. There's an age-old rule in commodities. High prices end high prices. Same on the other side. Low prices end low prices. And what that ultimately means is when it gets cheap enough, people will stop producing and you will end up with more demand and less supply and the price will reverse. And when it gets too expensive, people will stop buying and the price will fall crater down on its own. So I think what you'll see in terms of the oil price is once it might drop to 70 But then at that point, you'll probably maybe see it stop tapering off just because the supply from the U.S., which is really is what's distorting this market, is going to start falling.
Okay.
But that's, you know, all speculation. The other problem with – so the oil price, we might as well stick on this for a little bit because it's really interesting economic-wise. The price of oil, when it falls, is good for the consumer. But the question becomes, that's great. Is that showing a very is it because there's too much supply of oil, or is it because the global economy is just so weak that there's no demand for the oil itself?
Well, it always seems to come back to the basic economic principles of supply and demand.
Yeah, well, it is.
It really defines everything. Even though you hear stories of all different varieties of this is why this is happening, the reality is it's supply versus demand.
Correct, but the question is it the supply that's exceeding,
right?
Or is it the demand, that's falling?
Because the price has been so high for so long, people have stopped. But we'll continue discussing that in just a moment. You are listening to The Portfolio Doctors, KCBQ 1170. Stick around. We'll be right back.
According to the U.S. Census Bureau, over 90 million people in the U.S. own mutual funds. Now, I wonder how many of those people have read all the fine print associated with those investments. The good news is you don't have to figure it out on your own. Let me introduce you to Dan Osgood. Dan is a certified financial planner and actually a friend. Through his website, freeinvestmentaudit.com, he will do a free risk and cost analysis for any investment portfolio you have. This free analysis will find all the hidden fees and uncover the missing money from your investments. Most people don't think they're paying any fees at all, but trust me, you definitely are. The question is, how much in fees are you paying for the investments you have? If you have a retirement account or a bond portfolio of any kind, go to freeinvestmentaudit.com right now and get your free analysis. You deserve to know what your investments are really costing you. freeinvestmentaudit.com. That's freeinvestmentaudit.com. That's freeinvestmentaudit.com.
Remember those warm, sun-filled days relaxing on the beach in Hawaii? Can't wait to go again? Well, now you can have a taste of Hawaii delivered to your door by going online and ordering some melt-in-your-mouth deliciousness from HawaiiFudge.com. What better way to shake off the stresses of the world than biting into a smooth, creamy chocolate macadamia nut sensation? Or how about our Kona Coffee Lava Flow? Just go to HawaiiFudge.com and place your order online today. That's HawaiiFudge.com.
Business owners, are you tired of using multiple software solutions to run your business? Are you sick of the constant updates and having to pay your IT staff or a third-party company to manage your software systems? If you can answer yes to any of these questions, then you need Lead Commerce. Lead Commerce is a cloud-based software system that runs your entire business, from your website to e-commerce to inventory, purchasing, and order management. Lead Commerce does it all. For a free 15-day trial of Lead Commerce, log on to leadcommerce.com. That's www.leadcommerce.com. Start your free trial today. You'll be glad you did.
Intelligent Talk, 1170 KCBQ, San Diego.
Welcome back. It is the Portfolio Doctors radio show. I am Dan Osgood.
And I'm Steve Bick.
And we
representing OPEC.
Yes, we left off, and you were. I don't know which hat you're wearing there in the OPEC crowd.
But. Yeah, exactly. No, that's the big question that economists love to talk about. It is when the price of oil falls, then is this a lack of demand or an oversupply? And in all honesty, no one really ever gets the answer to that correctly.
There's so many variables. You could now say, because I don't know what the percentages are, but you see hybrids, electric cars, very fuel-efficient cars out there. It seems like there's been a giant trend. People are finally fed up with the cost, so you're seeing more of these cars. Is that the driving factor? And if so, then it is a supply versus demand. The demand goes down as more efficient vehicles are being used.
Yep. No, I agree with that. I mean, in the past, oil was really the mainstay of all economies, right? And I think that is slowly changing, less so in places like India and China, but hopefully slowly catch up. Mm-hmm. They're going to have to do something about their smog. But it's still a fairly big input. I mean, it's what's it, 80 million barrels a day are used around the globe. It's something wow. crazy. So it's still a massive input. But it is starting to fall, particularly in the developed world. Mm-hmm. I think there's more and more, as you say, people using hybrid cars. And there's also more and more public transport that's starting to creep in. I mean, seriously, Southern California is just pathetic when it comes to infrastructure for public transport.
Oh, absolutely.
I mean, you think of New York and London and Tokyo and, you know, any Hong Kong, any major metropolitan area, they have these fantastic infrastructure systems that move millions of people around the city seamlessly every day.
Even if you just look up in the Bay Area,
yeah,
the BART system, that's great. You can fly into Oakland and be in downtown San Francisco in just a very short time.
Correct. I know. And then here we are. I mean, in Southern mm-hmm. California, we are literally welded to the side of our cars. Mm-hmm. It's crazy. You can't get anywhere. I mean, you can. You can actually get everywhere here, but it'll take you pretty much the whole day.
Right.
You know, really. Mm-hmm. So I don't know what Southern California is going to do about that, and that's a whole separate topic. But really, when you look at it, I think we get a little bit of a distorted point of view in terms of the, you know, gasoline, and certainly we get a bigger impact from the reduction in the cost of a gasoline right. than someone in New York who doesn't even own a car. They're just getting on the underground, right? Mm-hmm. So it all depends, once again, back to our discussion, and I know listeners are going to go, oh, no, not again, but it's like everyone has their own inflation rate, right?
Correct.
And so for us in Southern California, a reduction in the price of oil is really put some money into our pockets. For a Absolutely. New Yorker that lives in a high rise that catches the underground to work every day and catches the underground back, probably no
Absolutely
difference.
Absolutely zero impact on, no impact on their life. Yeah. I fully agree with that. Mm. There's so many people that you know that commute long ways. That maybe they live in North County and work in downtown, or vice versa. I know of people living in Temecula that drive to downtown for work. And this is a huge impact on them.
Sure.
They're filling up their gas tank every day, every other day, depending on what type of vehicle they drive.
Yeah.
And
that's probably $100 a week.
Yeah, guaranteed that's...
Yeah,
that's making a huge impact on
what
their
it
lives.
Also helps with this travel. I mean, you should start seeing, hopefully, the price of tickets, you know, and airline tickets and things maybe start coming down a little bit.
I'm sure we will never see a removal of the fuel surcharge.
You are so right. What is up with that? And why do we pay for our bags? And now if you want some manky half-stale sandwich, you have to pay for that as well.
Right. Well, I did see a pretty detailed analysis of the airline industry, and it literally, their profit margins are about as small as there are in a business. So
I would never buy an airline company.
No, and I understand why now they're charging for the bags, but at the same time, it should just be included as part of, just put it into the cost of the ticket.
Yeah.
Don't have these extra charges. Just put it into the cost of the ticket. I think it would be much better received that way.
It's interesting. They did an analysis, and this is about 5-10 years ago, where they added up all of the earnings of the airlines combined. They took every airline and added them all together, right? The earnings and the losses for a 50-year period, and they added them all together, and the total was zero.
So, which is a perfect illustration of it is an extreme, it's extremely high demand business, but extremely low profitable.
Correct. I mean, so someone like Southwest seems to have it wired and they make money. And then you've got other airlines.
Southwest, their profit margins are not that great.
No.
It's just they seem to be a little more efficient. So they're able to keep most of that tiny profit, where a lot of other companies struggled to do that.
And you know, it's interesting because that comes down to another thing. If you're looking at investing into a business of some form, whatever that might be, you always want to be the person selling the shovels, not digging for the gold.
Correct.
And if you think about it, the airlines themselves are making no money, but Boeing and Airbus, I mean, they just print dollars.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're making Lockheed Martin and all these guys, GE making the engines. I mean, they are making tons of money. The airlines themselves making none.
Right.
So those are the guys supplying the tools. Here, you go and fly people all over the world and we'll just make the bits and pieces of equipment. And that's always a very good model to follow that can benefit you in terms of investment, particularly in this type of market where we are now.
Mm-hmm.
And we were just talking about Apple off the air and what a dominant market position they have. And certainly there's a lot of speculation about them and whether they would even be able to maintain that market position after Steve Jobs died. And I was definitely a skeptic, I have mm-hmm. to say.
I was too.
Yeah. And it seems like they've sort of consolidated their position. And then you brought up the new product they've got, which is iPay,
mm-hmm.
right? And it's sort of genius in a way when your statistic was, you know, about 80% of the people aged 20 to 30 years old own an iPhone of some form.
Right, the biggest chunk of consumers.
Yes. And if this iPay, if they all start using iPay, I mean, you know, that's a problem for PayPal and various other places.
Absolutely. They've now cornered the market immediately.
Now, then the next question, if you're a federal person, is that considered a monopoly and do you need to break it up?
Right. Well, remember what happened with Microsoft not that long ago. I can easily see this happening again where they're going to start tearing into Apple. So you're going to have to spin this off or some penalty
of
some variety.
Remember, they did that all the way back to AT&T. They blew them apart.
Mm-hmm.
They turned them into the baby bells. And back in, I think it was the 50s or so. And now AT&T's basically bought them all back together. They've put them all back together because there's no monopoly anymore.
Right. Well, because other companies have emerged.
Yeah,
correct?
I understood. But it's, you know, there's a real difficult thing to determine whether there's a benefit to society for breaking apart a monopoly or not. And it's almost impossible to work out because you take utilities as an example. You know, utilities are in many respects some form of a monopoly.
Right.
I don't know about you, but I mean, we get one utility provider and that's
your
choice.
You get SDG&E and that's it.
Yeah. And so, you know, so then the government tries to monitor what they can charge. And then if they, you know, but are they overcharging or undercharging? And how do you determine what that rate is?
Right.
I mean, you want to talk about a topic for economic discussion. You want to talk about boring our
right,
listeners.
I was going to say, we want our listeners to continue listening. We don't want to put them all to sleep.
I'm getting more excited. It shows you how boring I am.
Yeah.
Oh, man. I will say one thing because you're not going to bring it up, so I will. I want to tell everyone we won an award for our radio show. Unbelievable.
We did. So we want to thank everyone for listening because without the people listening, we would not have been even considered probably for this award. So,
yeah, that was awesome. We won it from who gave it to?
San Diego Press Club.
Yeah. So we
which covers all of the San Diego area.
An award-winning radio show.
That's right.
We should put that to our opening introduction, I think.
Yeah. We'll have to talk to the station, see if we can get that added in.
There you go.
Well, as we talk about different things like this, if talking about OPEC stimulated something that you'd like some clarity on, we are definitely here as a resource for everyone listening. If, as we're talking about the iPay or Apple Pay or whatever it's called and how that's going to impact, and if it makes sense for you to buy an iPhone just for that, we'll definitely talk to you about that as well. Or something as simple as you've got a portfolio that you've invested in over the years and you're just not exactly sure if it's the right thing for you, if it is diversified well, if what amount of risk is out there. We will look at that and give you a totally unbiased opinion and say, yes, this looks great or it looks good, but you could probably make these minor tweaks and it'll work even more efficiently for you.
I think one of the reasons that I'm going so deep into these topics like oil and various other bits and pieces is just to wake our listeners up to the fact that there are so many moving parts out there.
Mm-hmm.
And unless you're studying this stuff like I do every single day and trying your best to get a handle on it, and even then you won't get a proper handle on it. It's sort of like riding a wild bull in many respects.
Right.
If you can just really understand that you're either going to do this almost full time or you're going to turn to a professional, and not just a professional who's just going to say, oh, here's 60% stocks and 40% bonds, someone who's actually going to look out for your own outlook and your own retirement, that's the person you're looking for. And they're going to hopefully take what you need to achieve to get where you want your personal goals into as the forefront. Mm-hmm. You know, then that's, and you can go in armed with a bunch of good questions and good economic advice. And hey, have you thought about this? And what happens if this happens to my portfolio? If the price of oil drops to $40, am I impacted? You know, what? Why are we investing here and not over there? I mean, these are the types of questions you should be asking your financial planners out there and getting hopefully a decent answer, not just, oh, well, that's just how it is.
Right. Yeah. You know? If you get the canned, oh, well, we're doing this to take care of everything.
Yeah.
You want them to be able to answer your questions.
Correct. And if you have a strong opinion as to some form of part of your portfolio, then you need to air that opinion, mm-hmm. Back it up with some facts and just say, I don't feel comfortable being here because my concern is this.
Right.
And if they can't address it, then, you know, call us or look somewhere else and, you know, find someone who can address that.
Right.
Yeah.
And that is why we are here. That's why the show got started. We're over 50 years of experience now between us.
Yeah, thanks.
Finally. Right. Well, we might be 51. And by the way, I must say, happy birthday, Steve.
I tell you, what better way to spend your birthday than sitting in the studio with you?
Hanging out with me.
Yeah.
Can't get any better, right?
Uh-uh.
Maybe with your son it'd be a little bit better. Again, if you want to reach out to us, you can email either of us directly, steve@theportfoliodoctors.com or dan@theportfoliodoctors.com. Stick around. When we come back, we will dig a little further. We've already covered crowding out, but we'll get back to the different things going on in the world that can impact and will impact your portfolio and your planning. Be right back.
Intelligent Talk, 1170 KCBQ.
Business owners, are you tired of using multiple software solutions to run your business? Are you sick of the constant updates and having to pay your IT staff or a third-party company to manage your software systems? If you can answer yes to any of these questions, then you need Lead Commerce. Lead Commerce is a cloud-based software system that runs your entire business, from your website to e-commerce to inventory, purchasing, and order management. Lead Commerce does it all. For a free 15-day trial of Lead Commerce, log on to leadcommerce.com. That's www.leadcommerce.com. Start your free trial today. You'll be glad you did.
Remember those warm, sun-filled days relaxing on the beach in Hawaii? Can't wait to go again? Well, now you can have a taste of Hawaii delivered to your door by going online and ordering some melt-in-your-mouth deliciousness from HawaiiFudge.com. What better way to shake off the stresses of the world than biting into a smooth, creamy chocolate macadamia nut sensation? Or how about our Kona Coffee Lava Flow? Just go to HawaiiFudge.com and place your order online today. That's HawaiiFudge.com.
According to the U.S. Census Bureau, over 90 million people in the U.S. own mutual funds. Now, I wonder how many of those people have read all the fine print associated with those investments. The good news is you don't have to figure it out on your own. Let me introduce you to Dan Osgood. Dan is a certified financial planner and actually a friend. Through his website, freeinvestmentaudit.com, he will do a free risk and cost analysis for any investment portfolio you have. This free analysis will find all the hidden fees and uncover the missing money from your investments. Most people don't think they're paying any fees at all, but trust me, you definitely are. The question is, how much in fees are you paying for the investments you have? If you have a retirement account or a bond portfolio of any kind, go to freeinvestmentaudit.com right now and get your free analysis. You deserve to know what your investments are really costing you. Freeinvestmentaudit.com. That's freeinvestmentaudit.com. That's freeinvestmentaudit.com.
Download your free KCBQ smartphone app. Search KCBQ. Intelligent Talk, 1170 KCBQ.
Welcome back. It is the Portfolio Doctors Radio Show, the award-winning Portfolio Doctors Radio Show, as Steve mentioned. We've been talking about a variety of subjects all pertaining to the craziness that has been the market and just putting new ideas out there for everyone to understand that there's a lot of moving parts.
Well, particularly when you think Japan basically came out with the announcement to stimulate, as you mentioned in the right. early part of the show. And every market around the globe just went nuts.
Right.
from the German DAX to the FTSE in London to the Japanese Nikkei. China's Shanghai index went up, and then we all saw the Dow and the NASDAQ and the S&P all just shoot up.
Yeah, the last 2 weeks have been out of control.
But, I mean, this Friday was just a massive bull day for everyone mm-hmm. I mean, around the globe, based on the theory is Japan's economic announcement. And the only reason I bring that up is because it just goes to show how interrelated all of these economies around the globe are. And when we've been talking a fair amount about Apple, you just think about Apple. They are in every country under the sun. And even there, even in countries they don't sell into, because people will smuggle them across right. and hardwire them and stuff. So you think about the globe is really more every single day it's becoming just one big economy.
Right.
And where it used to be the United States was the behemoth, it's rapidly turning into that's not exactly the case. We are still by far the largest economy out there. Mm-hmm. It's changing every day. We're becoming a smaller piece of that economic pie by the day. I mean, just as an example, Nigeria wasn't considered really a very big economy until they started reporting things that weren't reported on before, and suddenly they jumped up like four or five. I think they leapfrogged over South Africa into the biggest economy in the globe.
Wow.
Not globe, in Africa at least.
Okay.
And so things like that, you just see these types of situations going on where it's almost becoming, if you can almost look at the economy or the globe as like a good old USA in the good old days, where there was the economy. Now the economy is the globe, and there's the 50 states are, you know, Russia, Europe,
right.
America, China, uh-huh. Japan. And so when something good happens in one of those states, I mean, sure, they are countries, but in one of those areas of the globe, it has a direct impact onto every single thing else. Now, I mean, while that's sort of good for big business and for people around the world, I think the consumers, the downside is that it really starts undermining the local or the regional government's ability to impact things.
Right, to make the changes.
Yeah. So, I mean, in our case, the Federal Reserve stopped its stimulus.
Mm-hmm.
But they haven't really, because they're not letting the balance sheet shrink.
Right.
So if you've got a $4 trillion balance sheet, and it's hard for any of us to really even imagine that.
I think even if you own Park Place on Monopoly, you don't get to that.
You don't even. My son would like to charge me $4 trillion when I land on his property. But mm-hmm. But yeah, no, it's you got that. And you think about that. And its average yield or average time to maturity is about 10 years. So you just take 10 years, divide it into $4 trillion, you've got $400 billion. That's maturing every year. So just divide that by 12, and you got about $40 billion a month that's maturing. Okay? And they're not letting the balance sheet shrink.
Wait, where's that money going?
No, they're buying new stuff.
Okay.
Yeah. So that's why while they've stopped actually adding new money, they're still stimulating to the tune of about okay. $30 to $40 billion a month.
And there's another factor that just got announced, because over the last week or so, they announced the new updated numbers that you're allowed to contribute to retirement accounts.
Oh, they did?
And the government rolled out their new MyRA, which is a new retirement plan that the government has created, which is the opportunity to invest in the tax-advantaged vehicle, just like a regular IRA. But that money gets invested. You're allowing the government to manage this for you.
Awesome.
By investing in, can you guess? U.S. government bonds.
Wow.
So they're almost...
They're trying to offload their problem onto the consumer.
Correct. They're almost handing what the Fed's doing off to the general public.
Because they're doing so well.
Because I don't know about you, but if I had a business and they offered to run it for me, I'd hand over the keys any minute.
If they gave me $1 trillion, I'd give it for sure. But, yeah, oh, my word, I didn't realize that was that MyRA, don't do that.
MyRA, no, it's probably better than doing nothing, but...
So why would you do it? Because you're not getting is there any matching or anything going on?
Not that I'm aware of. I haven't looked at it that thoroughly. I just saw the initial concept probably about a year ago when they first started talking about this plan they were going to be implementing in the future.
Huh. Well, I have to look into that a little bit more because that might be an interesting debate as to whether it's even worth it or not. Right. And what do you get for an investment in there in terms of matching and various other things? But it has to be a way to almost force people to start saving for retirement.
It's another attempt at it. Almost force, literally like forcing people to save. I think there's incentive. Of course, you get tax deductibility of any investments. That it looks like a lot of the same as if you just utilize an ordinary IRA account.
Wow, and there's so many rules and regulations.
Yes.
I deal with those every day.
Yes.
It's actually becoming a nightmare, It's becoming so onerous, you almost need a full-time legal staff just to deal with all of those issues.
To deal with all the other legal staffs that are creating deals.
Yeah, which is fine if you're Apple, but if you're some small guy trying to operate out of your warehouse, it'll just squash you.
Yep, that is true. Well, Steve?
Yes, sir?
Happy birthday. If I could sing, I'd sing to you right now, but I don't have that ability.
I think our listeners would really switch off then.
Yeah, so everyone out there, send birthday wishes to Steve. He's feeling a little bit down in the dumps.
Oh, yeah.
You've crossed the halfway point.
No, I'm on the slippery downward slope. Now it's all over.
Yeah. Our show, we're here for you. If you like what you've heard at all today, or even if it's a small piece, go take a look on iTunes. We have podcasts available of all of our past shows with a small summary of what the show was about. So you can kind of pick and choose and find things that interest you. We've covered a ton of topics. A lot of them are based on questions we've received from you as the listener, and we want to continue to do that. So if you have questions, comments, anything, we're here. We'd like to hear from you. Email steve@theportfoliodoctors.com or myself, Dan@theportfoliodoctors.com. You can also inquire directly through our website, theportfoliodoctors.com. And that about does it. Once again, happy birthday, Steve. Enjoy the rest of your weekend. I will see you back here next week.
Been listening to the Portfolio Doctors on News Talk AM 1170 KCBQ in San Diego. To schedule a financial health check, go to theportfoliodoctors.com. Or to speak with Dan Osgood, Steve Bick, or any guest on this program, please call 858-764-7250. That's 858-764-7250. Learn more about the show online at theportfoliodoctors.com. Portfolio Doctors are Dan Osgood and Stephen Bick, investment advisor representatives for their respective investment firms, ACAS LLC and Cottingham Management Company LLC. The opinions expressed on the Portfolio Doctors are their own. They do not reflect those of ACAS LLC, Cottingham Management Company LLC, or this radio station. The information you heard is for educational purposes only. No listener should assume that the discussions serve as a substitute for personal advice from ACAS LLC or Cottingham Management Company LLC. Listeners are encouraged to seek advice from a qualified tax, legal, or investment advisor to determine whether any information presented may be suitable for their specific situation. ACAS LLC and Cottingham Management Company LLC are not law or accounting firms, and no portion of this presentation should be interpreted as legal, accounting, or tax advice.
The Portfolio Doctors on KCBQ is sponsored by Mr. Credit San Diego.